I originally had this saying or the title as stronger than ordinary, which is, I saw this title a while back and it sort of tickled me. It was on the back of someone crouching to pick up this massive weight. You know, wat noem jy dit, 'n barbell, wat noem jy die ding? Kom, jimmer. But is it a barbell? And there was about like 3 or 4 or 5 discs on this side and this on that side, and this person was standing like this ready to pick up this weight, and on his back was written stronger than ordinary. And it sort of tickled me because, you know, what does it mean to this guy with that on his shirt? You know, is this now like trying to motivate himself to say, Billiki, ordinary is 2 discs. You've got 4, so you're not, you know, way beyond this. And as I was journeying, just in preparation with that, I just felt that, you know, more than ordinary is what I believe God wants to say to you and me today. Because I think there's some of us sitting here that, you know, you don't think you're so anything special, and that is leading you down a road maybe that's not necessarily where you should be. So you are more than ordinary. Now, ordinary means this: with no special or distinctive features. That's what it means. It means normal. Okay? With no special or distinctive features, it's normal. Now, just think about normal. Just think about ordinary. What's special about that? Nothing. You see, ordinary is the enemy of extraordinary. Extraordinary. It's just the enemy. If you're just ordinary, you can't be extraordinary. You can't be amazing. You know, it's just going to kind of keep you there. You're the average. We had our pastor preached a sermon just way back in 1940, when I still had hair. And I remember him teaching about this, about just being ordinary in the sense, he called it average. That you just average, you know, you've got the house with the brown door and the cream walls and the black roof or maybe a red roof, and, you know, everybody around you is sort of the same thing, and those yellow, 2.5 children, 1 wife, yes, but you average, you know, you just, there's nothing that stands out for you, and this is kind of just your life. And I know all of you are now checking, what color is my roof? Mine is paintable, so I can change. But what sets ordinary apart? And the truth is, nothing. Why? Because it's ordinary. It's just the average. It's just what it is. So if I'm ordinary, what difference do I make? If your life is just ordinary, what impact do you have in this world? But some of us are living like we are just ordinary. We're just average. But is that really who you are? Is that really who you're supposed to be? Is ordinary what this world actually needs? Okay? So I want to tell you this morning then, obviously, that you are not ordinary. And we'll get to that now. You might live like you're ordinary now, but I'm trusting God to do a deep work in your life so that you can become extraordinary and do amazing things. I mean, the Spirit of God dwells in us. You know, if you think that you're ordinary, just that already, if the Spirit of Him who raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, how can you be ordinary? Because as far as I can see, we serve a God who is absolutely amazing. He doesn't necessarily work the way you and I want Him to work. Have you noticed? But man, when He works. So I'm kind of looking at this whole venue idea, and I'm just waiting for this testimony. I'm just going, God, woo-hoo, He's got a plan. Now, I just want to have a quick look at John, the book of John. All right, so you all don't know the book of John. You've read the book of John probably about 20 times, but I love the way that the book of John starts. It's one of the, you know, if it's about a beginning of a book, then this for me is a very beautiful beginning of a book. And it says this, in the beginning, the beninging, right in, it's lekker living in South Africa, ne? Yo, come on. In the beginning, the Word already existed. All right, so you need to get that. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay, very powerful statement there. Something you have to wrap your head around, your understanding. Understanding that in the beginning, the Word already existed. Now, just that thought can probably blow all your fuses and get your brain going. It's an amazing thought. That the Word was with God and that the Word was God. Right? And then he carries on verse 2. He says, He was already with God in the beginning. Everything came to existence through Him. So everything that you and I see, everything that is made on this earth, everything that is created, came through Him. There's nothing that was not made through Him. The reality is you cannot create anything because anything you use to create anything comes through Him. He's that awesome. He's that powerful in that everything, the existence of everything just flows from the Word, from Him that is with God. So your life, your future, your present, even your past, you know, He was there. He knows these things, you know. And what is about to come? Just think, if this power is just flowing this earth, what is God about to do? Okay? Not one thing that exists was made without Him. He was the source of life, and that life was the light of humanity. The light shines in the dark, and the dark has never extinguished it. The dark has never extinguished the light, and nor can it. It cannot extinguish this light. How can it? This light is the light of humanity. It's the light to which you and me will position our lives. You know, like we've explored in the past, you cannot go anywhere at night unless you have a light. And if you're really far in the platteland and it's a moonless night, just ask Caleb. What happens when you walk in the bush without a light? Or one little light, and the guy that's got the light shines it everywhere except on the road. Okay, it becomes interesting. And people are walking on this earth trying to navigate their way and not moving in the light. They're trying to find their way. They're plowing through stuff, hitting obstacles, falling over stuff, falling off stuff, because they're not walking in the light. And this light is in you and me. And in John 1 verse 12 to 13, he says this, and you know the scripture well, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. So, come on guys, can we just establish that in our hearts even here? As many as received him, if I receive him as my personal Lord and Savior, I have the right to become a child of God. I become part of this light. I'm with God, so to speak. Okay? To those who believe on His name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but were born of God. And you know, this is the most powerful verse that you and I have in terms of our salvation. You know, it's not of blood, so it's not your mother and father that caused this in your life. All right? It's not because of anything that you do, the flesh, it's not your desire, it's not you could not make this happen. Nor the will of man, you know, you could, you know, especially in our day and age, you know, just apply your will and you'll see things, you know, confess positively and all that kind of stuff. No. but you were born of God. So you and I received the light in our lives. What is ordinary about that? What is ordinary about the fact that you are born of God? So if you ever think of yourself as insignificant, useless, not worth anything, just think of this fact. If you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then you are extraordinary. Because your God is. And you are born of Him. Now, wacht, pause game. Just hang in there quickly. Just close your eyes. Nah? Close your eyes quickly. Think of your life briefly. Just think of your life. What has happened over the last year or two? You know, and kind of what's extraordinary about that? And I think this God whom you serve, who is almighty, all-powerful, what does He want to do in the next year? Or two? Or three? And I want to encourage you to dream. To seek out His face. To draw strength from this God who is light. You can open your eyes again. You see, now we sit with 2020, and 2020 has been funky and interesting and all the rest of it. But I really believe it is merely a stepping stone for what God has in store for us for 2021. And like I said 2 weeks ago, now you're going, Kobus, just wacht starig nou. All right, don't say anything quickly again. But I, you know when an athlete, these professional athletes, right? When they crouch at the starting gates, line, whatever, not a gate, they're not horses. I might get stoned here now. But they've got that thing that they put on the floor, right? With the two sort of 45 angle kickoff plate stuff. Starting blocks in Afrikaans. But they've got that stuff. Why? Because it's nice. Everybody else does it. So you know, you have to be in. You have to have a block thingy. Nah? Is that what it's about? Is it so that they can line up their butts in a straight line and then start off like that? No, it's not even that. Why do they have a starting block? It's a kickoff. It makes them sprint and start even faster. Now, come on, that's 2020. Is but a starting block. Maybe you should align your faith with that. This was the year of great faith. And I don't know what next year is going to be, but it's probably going to be a year of greater faith. Yeah. But it's going to be a year where we see greater things through faith in our lives, and we are not going to be ordinary. We are more than ordinary. You are more than ordinary. And all 2020 is going to be for us is that kickoff to step into, to rush into, to fulfill God's purposes for our lives. When the gun goes, is there anything that slow that happens after that? The stop is not even slow because they normally take half a track to come to a standstill, you know. But that kickoff, it's what Paul is writing about. It's like, I'm running this race, man. I'm stretching towards that goal. I want to get there. And ordinary is not going to cut it. Sorry. If you're just going to be average, if you're just going to kind of go with the norm, if you're just going to do things the way you've done it for the past 20 years, okay, maybe some of you, five, one. The gun is going off. You have to kick off. Now you can turn around and inspect your kickoff plate, your starting block, and you can go, ugh, it's a terrible starting block and the angles are wrong. You know, maybe it's a bit skew. You can analyze this thing till the cows come home. The fact is, unless you use it for what it's supposed to be used, it's just going to be a block in your life. So maybe just to link back to some of the other sermons, what switch on your lights? What gets you going? We were talking about that holy discontent thing. And we're not done with that yet. What is God stirring you in your life? What is he doing? What does he want to do through 2020 to kick you off into 2021 so that he can do amazing things through you? You know, and if you still haven't figured it out, I would strongly encourage you to see God's face, to understand what he wants to do through your life in this body, in this earth. You see, because it's not about just you and me as individuals. We know that. We understand that it's about us as a collective as well. Now, let's put it this way. You're wholly discontent. How desperate are you to see that happen? Is it like, you know, like when you're really hungry and there's no food? You know, you've gone to work, you were so quick out of the blocks there this morning that the beautiful lunch that your wife packed for you or your husband, you left at home, and then what arrives? Lunch. And you have this thing in your stomach and your wallet is blood because it's the 24th. So you can't step down to the shop quickly and get a broiki. So what do you have to do? You have to wait for supper. So now you wait and you come back home at 6 o'clock and you smell. Ooh, it's lekker. Have you ever had that where it seems like forever to get the food ready? You know, it's like, I really want to eat now. Caleb and Jamie's like that the whole time, but I mean, can't us now eat? Is the course all right? It's interesting because, you know, I think if we can sort of have that same spiritual desire that we sometimes have for very physical things, I think our lives will look differently. And we will probably pursue different stuff more passionately only because there's a hungering and a thirsting within us. Now, I want to look at what Jesus said in John 4, verse 34. He makes this profound statement in that he says, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. And it's interesting that he calls it his food. He could have used so many other words to describe this, but he uses this very sentence to say, listen, my food is to do the will of the one who sent me. Now let's break that down quickly. The food, obviously if we think of food, it's the stuff that sustains him. It's the stuff that nourishes him. It's the stuff that keeps him healthy, keeps him moving, etc., etc. You know, we can get the dietitians up here and they're going to tell us everything that food can do in our bodies. And if you eat the wrong stuff, what does it do? It will kill you. Literally. If you eat the right stuff, you know, your body goes like, thank you, I can do something with that. Okay? McDonald's doesn't have the same impact as what? It's priceless. A salad. And only means what salad yet can yes. But there's food that we can eat that really has a negative impact on our lives, and then there's stuff that really changes us. And Jesus makes this profound statement in that my food is to do the will of him who sends me. In other words, it nourishes him, it feeds him, it causes him to be able to move, to live. Just think of that, even just, you know, as we are dependent on food, how dependent he was on his Father to understand what his will is, his plan is, etc. in that time. Then to do, which is action. It doesn't say to think about, to consider, you know, kind of ponder. No, it's to do. There's action. That which propels him forward, that gives him strength, brings action to his life. So he's drawing this nourishment from the Father, what? To sit at home, become fat. Binge watch 1,000 camels on the desert floor. No, it's there to propel him, to move him forward. Okay, then what does he want to do? The will. In other words, there's direction. The Father determines the direction in which he needs to go. It's not his own will, but he's fully submitted under his Father's will here. Even his own will says, okay, not my will, Lord. And he prayed that. Not my will be done, but your will be done. And then he is sent, which gives purpose, direction, an end goal. Now, obviously, the end goal of him being sent is us being saved. But on this earth, his purpose, that which he was sent to, was what? To die on a cross. You see, and this is the one thing that we do not want to hear in the gospel of Jesus Christ, is that he is sending us to die for ourselves, for him, for this world even, possibly. But no, Kobus, ons gaan nie die doen. There will be the rapture, and then we're gone, and then, you know, we just fine. But there's purpose. And then finish the work. And it's only, I think, sonship. Sons that will carry on the work of the Father with the same passion and zeal that the Father has done. When they run with him, understand his heart, understand his will, understand the direction that they are obedient to go and do what he has instructed them to do. As sons, that's what we do. That's what he's saying. Father, I'm here to, I hear what you're saying, I understand what you're saying, and I'm here to do your will. So his food was to move forward in action and to follow the Father's direction to fulfill his purpose as a son. You see, and I think for me, as I was pondering and thinking about this, you know, just in terms of what is the food of my life? Has it, my life's, you know, the stuff that nourishes us and feeds me, has other stuff become more important than what God is actually desiring for my life? What he wants to do? If 2020 is the starting block, what is he saying to me to walk into in 2021? What is his will? What is the work that he wants to finish, that he wants to accomplish or wants to do in 2021? I can tell you one thing. It is not ordinary stuff. It's not average stuff. And maybe we've sort of been okay with average for too long. Just, you know, church mustn't be too rough. Must be nice, you know. My life, I can tell you what I'm doing Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, because, you know, let God just not intervene and tell me to do anything else. But how's my life aligning with what he is instructing me to do at this time? And that's what Jesus is writing here. He's going, my food is to do what he is saying, his will, his passion, his every desire. If he says turn left, I go left. If he says turn right, I go right. You know, saints, I believe God is really calling us to a deeper and more intimate walk with him. We cannot do things the same we've been doing it for the last couple of years. So what made Jesus stand out? Just want to ask this question. What made him stand out? Was it the fact that he did miracles? Right? Julle nie seker nie? Wonder julle daaroor? What made him stand out? I think it's the fact that he did miracles. The reality is he said, and you will do them too, and even greater ones. Was it the fact that he taught with authority? Definitely. I mean, he drew some amazing crowds. But he said, you must go do the same. He said, go and make disciples and teach them everything that I have taught you and baptize them. So he says, what I'm doing is you doing. Was it because he was born of God, fully man and fully God in the same? Definitely. But what makes it different that if you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that you are born of God too? What hinders you from fulfilling what God is calling you to do? Because you see, if I understand this right, and we are sons and daughters of God, then we cannot be ordinary. Then we have to stand out, don't we? Ja, maar pastoor, ek is bang. I believe the one thing that made Jesus really stand out is his single-mindedness and his focus to do the will of his Father. Not to get distracted with what was happening in Jerusalem or Judea or what, you know, what need is where. He was fulfilling the purpose of his Father for his life in his context at that time. The scripture says he was born in the fullness of time. Right there where God wanted him to be born, that's where God placed him. Why? Because he had to fulfill his purpose in that season. And it's the same for you and me. We have been born right now. God knew what was going to happen in the earth when he planned you. And he deposited everything in you and me for this time. To fulfill our purpose now. Not in 1886. You missed that boat. You're not supposed to be born in 2025. You are here, just by the way. So stop living just an ordinary life. It's not who you're supposed to be. Jesus says this in John 7, verse 37. He says this, if some people thirst, let him come. Maar is 'n ander translation. Myne sê some people. Anyone. Does that include us? So this means if I'm thirsty, he says, let him come to me and what? But this is the thing. You cannot drink unless you come. So there's even a going, there's a moving, there's a drawing closer to him. And once I get close to him, then I can drink. And then he says, if only the faithful believes in me. No, he doesn't. He says, whoever. You see, so even as I drink, even as I come to him, I can extend that invitation to everybody and say, listen, if you believe, can I lead you to this fountain? Okay, whoever believes in me, as scripture said, out of his heart or his inner man will flow rivers of living water. Now, it's quite interesting, you know, with all the drought and everything that we've seen over the world, that there can be nothing. It can just be, you know, sand blowing around, looking quite dead. And then a small burst of cloud happens there. And then the next day, there's green. And it's amazing how there's seeds that are so dormant that just lies there. And then when the rain comes, they just go for it. Now, think of this. If we are drinking from him, if we believe in him, and that river of living water starts gushing up and flowing out from us, will there not be life that springs up everywhere that we go? So in other words, if we are somewhere there cannot be death, you know, there needs to be fruitfulness because I have this river that flows. So people cannot always just be, you know, if they're really stubborn, I guess they can choose not to receive what is pouring out from you. But that is the result of what should be there is that life that springs out to those around us. If we drink from him, if we come to him and we drink from him, that rivers will just spring up. So there's that intimacy. That beautiful intimacy with him and his and the Holy Spirit, and then we just see that fountain is just pouring out through us. In John 8, verse 31 to 32, he says this. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And how many of you have quoted the scripture so many times? Now I just want to submit to you, you will know the truth. Is yes, it's scripture and stuff, but if I look back to John, the first chapter, the Word was with God, then the truth is a person. And if I know Jesus Christ, if I intimately pursue Him, the truth of who He is and the reality as God comes in my life, I will be free. You know, sometimes we want to run to all sorts of counselors. Maybe you should just run to Jesus. Come sit at His feet so that the Word, the truth, can set you free. Get into the Scriptures. Study the Scriptures. You know, so many times that I've seen people who start Bible school, you know, they're struggling. And just by year end of year one, completely different people. And now I can call up people now that have sat through Bible school. And it's interesting to see what God has done in their lives. Some of them are preaching now. And they know who I think they are. Okay. But there's life that springs up in that intimacy with God. You see, if we are disciples of Jesus, then we will stay in the Word, won't we? That will be the chief thing that we stay in. We will be students of Him. We will study. We will be so involved in who He is and what He wants to do. And that's what I think Jesus was saying so beautifully, that this food that I'm craving, that I want, is to do the will of Him who sent me. And I love what He says, to finish His work. To finish strong, because the kickoff, the start off of this race is always the easiest. If you remember when you got born again, anything that moved got evangelized. Nah? I mean, if it went, you there. And yes, we offended people, did we not? But they received the gospel. And dan raak ons ou Christene. And then we're more concerned about ruining the friendship than we are preaching the gospel. Yeah, I remember one of the mistakes that I made is, you know, saying that, yeah, but I just want to build a relationship so that I can speak. So then I build a relationship, and then the relationship is now lucky, you know, I'm getting along with this guy, and then I'm scared to speak because then I might break the relationship. So there was a point where I decided I'll start with the gospel. If it goes pear-shaped from there, I've lost nothing. But if the relationship grows from there, then it's cool. But we sometimes are so scared to offend people that we don't share the gospel of Jesus Christ with him. Deuteronomy 14:2, taking you out of John there. Getting back to ordinary. You are people who are holy to the Lord. This is the God's Word translation. You are people who are holy to the Lord your God. Out of all the people who live on earth, the Lord has chosen you to be His own special people. And this is obviously God speaking to Israel, saying that, listen, you are my people. You are my peculiar people. I've chosen you. And it's the same for us at this time, is that He's called us to do His will. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20, and I think this is, I want to end with this. Do you know that your body is a temple that belongs to the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit, whom you received from God, lives in you. You don't belong to yourselves. You are bought for a price. So bring glory to God in the way you use your body. See, Christianity is not just about the spiritual. Following Jesus is not about just the spiritual, it's about the physical as well. It's about using your body for His glory. Taking your body. You see, if I'm born again, then I'm, you know, my spirit gets reborn. Then it's my spirit that needs to be in charge. But if I keep feeding my flesh will dictate what my spirit does. But if I feed my spirit will dictate what my flesh does. And I need to align my spirit with what God. Let the will of God be the food that I crave, so that it will determine what I do in this life. And again, if the Spirit of Jesus Christ dwells in you, how can you just be ordinary? You see, it's not about religion. It's not about jumping through a bunch of hoops. you know, doing the encounters and going on missions and stuff, if you can do all that stuff and still miss everything, it's about a pursuit of Jesus Christ more than anything. If we go on missions, if we do anything, it is to make His name great. If we leave and they know nothing who we are, that's fantastic. But if Jesus is there and they transform, then yes, we've won. Saints, and I believe at this time, you know, having journeyed through the fast and so on and seeking God's face and saying, God, but what do you want to do in this life? I think my greatest fear is that we will go into 2020 and not kick off and miss what God wants to do through us. Saints, you can go look at the past couple of sermons. Not that the sermons is necessarily, you know, the beginning and end all, but if I look at what God has really just been saying, you know, it's like God is really adamant about this not just staying in one spot. It's really not about me and my comfort. Shucks. And I can get comfortable, I'll tell you that much. Loretta and I were talking yesterday, and man, has she got some fantastic ideas. So what we're going to start doing in the community, etc. And I'm looking forward to it. We'll maybe share some of that next week, we'll see. But just thinking outside of the box and how we can take this gospel, this amazing truth of Jesus Christ that died for people's sins to them. And to live lives that are not ordinary. Because you are more than ordinary. You are way more than ordinary. See, your life and my life is not meant to be ordinary. We mustn't believe that lie. We must get away from that thing. We are meant to live this life of faith. Faith in a God who can do anything, right? Faith in a God who can do the impossible. And as a son, as a daughter of God, may my food be to do His will. If He says left, I go left. To follow the Holy Spirit as He leads me and guides me. Because I know that's what Romans 8 says. If we do not fulfill the lust of the flesh, if we walk in the Spirit, we will do amazing things for Christ. So I want you to maybe just look at your life and go, okay, but where have I settled for ordinary? Where have I settled to just, you know, go through this life and not fulfill God's plan for my life? Because that's really easy to do.